question of violations is handled in a different way. And we can decide if there's a violation. It goes to the UN Security Council. There, if the Security Council doesn't act and it would require our joining them, then the UN sanctions come back into force after a period of time. And so that first alternative of being able to get the UN sanctions back in place for the international community is there and on the table, and no individual country can block it. We have to join in. It's a reverse of the veto in the UN, so it is on our side. Secondly, this agreement will take the breakout time in the event Iran should choose to violate the agreement from 2 to 3 months currently to a minimum of a year, and that's only to get enough material to make a device. It doesn't include the time it would take necessarily to fabricate a weapon or even more to reduce the size of that weapon to be a warhead for missile delivery. And so we have a great deal of time built into this, and so I think that concern is perhaps at this stage not one that we have to be in this sense as preoccupied as Senator Schumer may think, although I have great respect for the senator.
Senator Schumer also brought up the fact that he says the U.S. cannot demand an inspection unilaterally without a majority of the 8-member commission. He says the Europeans may be locked in with lucrative deals with Iran and may not want to ruffle the feathers of Iran, and that Russia and China, which often has a difficult relationship with the U.S., may not go along. What about that?
Well, Russia and China and Iran don't have to go along. The Europeans, and we've had many talks with them, you listen to the testimony of the American negotiators, are fully confident that they will be with us on this. They don't want to see an Iranian nuclear weapon. They don't want to see the agreement jeopardized by Iranian efforts one way or another to circumvent it. And the really interesting piece is since November of 2013, with the preliminary agreement, we've had no such problem with Iran. Now, whether that would continue to be the case or not, I don't know. But the agreement has been put together so that if, in fact, there were such a problem, several things would happen. One, we would certainly be able to call for a violation and put in place the kind of operations I just talked to you about a moment ago. Secondly, we would have in our own reserve, as the president has said, all of the capacities of the United States still on the table, and the president has made it very clear that he would be prepared to use military force if Iran were going for a nuclear weapon, if that in the last analysis was required. This agreement, in my view, makes that much less possible. It doesn't eliminate it as a certainty, but it makes it much less possible and gives us an opportunity, obviously, to see a great deal more about what goes on in Iran than we've ever had before. It gives us cradle-to-the-grave inspection of uranium in Iran. It gives us control over all of Iran's imports for any program that might fit the nuclear definition. It gives us daily access to all of their sites, plus technical access on a 24/7 basis completely through cameras and seals and other technologies. And it gives us, in my view, the right to visit places anywhere in Iran, admittedly with some delay, but there's nothing there that says we can't observe that site on a 24/7 basis until we get access and see what's going on, both from on-the-ground observation where that's possible, but certainly through satellite observation, which is entirely within our own capacity to do. So I would not be as concerned as the senator is about that particular point. I think that it is a point, but it's a point that if you look at the existing arrangements for inspections under the IAEA of places that are not currently being inspected, the delays are much lengthier. This agreement actually foreshortens the delay mechanism that's incorporated in something called the IAEA Additional Protocol. So we have, in fact, tightened this particular process on Iran. And the IAEA, who are, in fact, the experts in this, and believe this is adequate for them to do their job.
What do you say to Americans who may turn on the television and see American flags being burned in Tehran, people chanting death to America, and they say, why should we sign an agreement with these people? What's your reaction?
I share their deep concern for any Iranian misbehavior, and I think it's important to keep that in mind. But I have to tell you that previous administrations, those of George W. Bush and the current administration, have all decided that the primary concern that we must attack now is any intention on the part of Iran to make a nuclear weapon. And therefore, we gave that highest priority. And therefore, we decided that we were not going to diminish our capacities to put pressure on Iran to stop a nuclear weapon by seeking to add to the mix all the other very important and beneficial things that your question to me implies that we might be able, in some future point, to get Iran to do. Things that are maybe more important than maligning us in public. Things maybe not as important as threatening Israel's existence, but things like support for the Hezbollah and Hamas organizations, shipping missiles to Syria, those kinds of things. None of those has been incorporated in this agreement. I'm sure they've been talked about by the negotiators, just as the release of those Americans unfairly imprisoned in Iran is in preoccupation as well. And should be continued. And Secretary Kerry has said he will do that. So we made that decision. The Iranians also insisted that this agreement covered just the nuclear question because they want out from under the sanctions, and they did not want to delay the process of negotiating this agreement by including other issues. And that was the kind of tough decision that presidents have to make when they prioritize the national objectives.